On a mission to change the way consumers purchase glasses, GlassesUSA.com was created on one simple belief. Eyewear shouldn't break the bank. It's the smart way to buy glasses. GlassesUSA.com allows consumers to purchase eyewear from the convenience of their own home and offers a wide variety of high-quality frames and lenses at affordable prices and with no risk. And these aren't generic frames. These are brands like Ray-Ban, Oakley, Tom Ford, and Calvin Klein. So head on over to GlassesUSA.com, use promo code ALMIGHTY, that's promo code ALMIGHTY, and get 55% off any pair of glasses at checkout. Again, GlassesUSA.com, promo code ALMIGHTY.
Fun to do bad things.
The more problems you get, and jealousy and envy is something that comes with the territory, man. A lot of people, it's just negative energy, like my man Puff said.
What country you from?
What?
What ain't no country I ever heard of? They speak English in what?
What?
English, mother, do you speak it?
Man, you been doing all this dope producing, you ain't had a chance to show them what time it is.
So what you want me to do?
Welcome to the Spurs Cast, the original San Antonio Spurs podcast.
Congratulations, you have arrived at episode 445 of the Spurs Cast. The original San Antonio Spurs podcast, brought to you, of course, by ProjectSpurs.com. I am your host, Ryan McCallum, and I'm here today on a Sunday afternoon with your hero, Jose Grijalva. Jose, what's up, man?
Nothing. I just got done eating BK, so I'm kind of happy.
BK? Burger King?
Yeah.
That was the big lunch? That's what delayed you 2 hours?
Absolutely. I had a coupon. It was for, obviously, right?
That's the only time I go. Of course you had a coupon. Of course you did.
It was two Whoppers, two Whopper Juniors, four fries, and four sodas for $13. So
okay. I like it. Well, I'm glad that you're back from that lunch, because we're going to spend a little bit of time here talking about the wrap-up from the Memphis series. Of course, you know, the Spurs take that series 4-2. I don't think that we expected quite as long of a series as we got, but the important thing is the Spurs move on. And then we're going to spend the second part of the podcast talking about Spurs versus Houston Rockets. Of course, the Rockets winning their series 4-1 over the Oklahoma City Thunder and Russell Westbrook. And now they're all set to take on the Spurs starting Monday. So before we get to that, let's talk about where we've been. So the Memphis Grizzlies, man, these guys put up a fight. And I know they're somewhat darlings of the NBA, and I say that because they play a different style of ball. They play, you know, definitely inside out. Everything's focused around their two big guys, Marcus Gasol and, of course, Zebo. These guys didn't have Tony Allen in that series, so, you know, Kawhi was essentially just able to, run amok in the series, and he really carried it for San Antonio, which is to be expected. You know, three times during that series, he set new playoff scoring records for himself. Kawhi played phenomenally, great on the defensive end, great on the offensive end. Not a whole lot of help for him in that series. I think that's the story of the series. No help for him outside of Mr. Tony Parker. So, you know, Jose, talk a little bit, how you saw the series wrapping up. Did it meet your predictions? And then about Tony Parker's play, and really just the point guard play in general for San Antonio, between Patty Mills and Tony Parker, you know, they averaged almost 27 points a game out of the point guard spot.
Yeah, and they did phenomenal playing alongside each other, which I was kind of surprised Pop went with that lineup, although I was glad that he went small somewhere to try to gain an advantage. I wish he would have gone small with the bigger men and taken Zebo out of the game. But, I mean, a win is a win, right? You can't really complain about that. I was surprised really with how the Memphis bigs just bullied San Antonio around. I mean, I thought LaMarcus, you know, and you know, the guy has a, remember, he had a heart issue. So I don't think he wants to grind it out in the pain and have guys bully him around. So I was kind of understanding on that. But I mean, Powell got bullied by his older brother and by Zach Randolph. I was really surprised how well Marc Gasol can shoot from the three. I think the announcer said that he didn't really take that many shots in the regular season, but I mean, he was shooting them in rhythm, like if he was practicing every day. So that really surprised me. That's going to raise his stock. Really the bad thing is now with Memphis, with their cap situation, especially that Chandler Parsons contract, they're really not in a situation to, evolve or get better. They're really going to stay the same or get worse. So you kind of feel bad about the Grizzlies in that respect. But Tony Parker, I was one of the people that sort of got down on him. I didn't think he could put up this performance. But I think he came up, in this situation the way he was supposed to, the way I think we all were hoping he would, mainly because, I'm on Twitter all the time, right? And I'm on Facebook. So I've seen that fans have been saying, he's back to being the old Tony Parker, that everybody who doubted him is a bunch of haters and yada, yada, yada. This is the Tony Parker of old. We got to remember, this is Tony Parker coming up big as the third option on the team. Right. It's not like he had the offense around him that he was creating for other people. Again, Mike Conley was being guarded by Kawhi on one side of the floor. Tony Parker really wasn't, guarding, anybody of relevance, I guess you could say, on the defensive side. So, I mean, he was resting on defense. He was being guarded by somebody who was really guarded by one of the best defenders in the NBA. So, again, he had an advantage there. Coming into the next series, I have my doubts. The Rockets are a taller team. They're a shooting team. They're a quicker team. So, Parker, don't be expecting those games from Tony Parker. If he brings them, then, that's great. But, again, you can't really hide him in that series like they did with the Memphis Grizzlies.
Yeah, I would agree. If they got that kind of performance in the second round, out of the point guard spot, think if they could do, I know this is a long wish list, but between Parker and Mills, these guys were 22 of 42 from three-point land in that series, right? That's 52% from three-point land. And I know we're kind of saving the Rockets, but we're sort of bleeding into it right now. But they're going to need that kind of shooting out of that position in the next round, because remember, Manu Ginobili gave basically nothing during this series. Danny Green averaged less than 6 points per game in this series. And he's not a big-time scorer anyway. I mean, he averages almost 9 points a game in the playoffs. So, but you need some more offense. If they could get that out of Tony Parker, that's an unexpected source. The challenge is going to be, and I guess we might as well just jump right into the Rockets because what's done is done. But, the challenge is going to be that you said it, the Rockets are bigger, they're stronger. You can just bet that they're going to put Trevor Ariza on Kawhi, I think. And we can talk about matchups as we go on. But I think that they'll put Trevor Ariza on Kawhi because their best defender is Patrick Beverley. But Patrick Beverley is just too small. I mean, Kawhi would kill him in the post. I would post up Kawhi every time if Patrick Beverley was guarding him. And Pat Beverley's their best defender, but he's just not big enough. So what that means is Trevor Ariza covers Kawhi, and now you're going to have Patrick Beverley playing the off guard, spot, or you'll have Patrick Beverley taking the point guard spot. And that's just a recipe for disaster. I can't see Tony Parker or Patty Mills that extra backcourt scoring is going to drop off significantly because you're going to have Patrick Beverley guarding you.
And Trevor Ariza is no slouch. I mean, he's a former NBA champion with the Lakers, so he helped them out on the defensive end. This is going to be interesting because if Kawhi's being guarded by their best player, where do you put Kawhi since you can't hide Tony Parker? And we'll talk, like you said, we'll talk matchups right now. But it's really this series, even though fans are taking, the regular season into account, you can't really do that because the teams, even though they scout, they don't really prepare for them like how you do in the playoffs. In the playoffs, you're going to face one opponent. You adjust one way, and then you adjust every game after that. In the regular season, it's sort of like, okay, we're going to play the Rockets. James Harden's their guy. They go to pick and rolls. Okay, let's try to neutralize that. But again, in the playoffs, everything is going to be micromanaged. You know, they're going to check everything out. So it's not going to be as easy, especially when, just for an example, Pau Gasol had trouble with that pick and roll switch against Memphis. Now you're going to have James Harden on, Pau Gasol on James Harden. That's going to be a worse matchup. So especially when everybody can shoot. It's just going to be interesting. Yeah, interesting, to say the least.
Exactly. This is why the second round, I think we're gonna have to record often, because I can see this changing dramatically from game to game with all of those adjustments that are going to get made. And we haven't really even talked about the history between these two coaches. Of course, you've got long history there with Mike D'Antoni and the Phoenix Suns and all those great times that they had to go up against Greg Popovich and the Spurs in the playoffs in the early and mid-aughts. And they're back at it again. But, I mean, Popovich has just killed Mike D'Antoni's teams in the playoffs. Their playoff records aren't head-to-head. It's totally weighted towards Popovich. So, I mean, of course, they've got the coaching edge there. I don't know if you needed a breakdown to wins, losses, just to say that, the Spurs have the superior coach. Houston has the superior lineup head-to-toe, and that's, I think that's tough. At least that's my opinion. You let me know if you feel that same way. But that's tough to say with, when you have the Spurs, who are loaded with, future Hall of Famers there, and Kawhi, Pau Gasol, of course, being a future Hall of Famer, and then Tony and Manu. It just head-to-toe, I think, that Houston's got a better lineup. So the Spurs are going to have to play out of their minds, I think, to hang in this lineup. Now, let's talk a little bit about matchups, and let's kind of start from the inside out, if you will, because we'll get to like James Harden and Kawhi, sort of at the end of our little go around of the matchups. But if I look in the paint, Houston in that last series, I think had incredible post play, especially for them. And this is a team whose backcourt rules the roost, and their backcourt scored 77 points per game in the series against Oklahoma City. So that's 40 points for their front court per game, because they averaged about 112, something like that, per game so far in the playoffs. But their post play, I mean, think of these players. Clint Capella, who's raw but super athletic. I'm going to go ahead and say that Nene, it brings that athleticism. Now, I mean, he's older than dirt, but the dude can still move, and he's huge. And so I think that Nene is going to cause some problems, especially if it's Nene v. Pau Gasol in that second tier, right? So when the backups get in, what do you think about the front court play? How's San Antonio going to take it to Houston in the front court? I mean, how does San Antonio win that?
It's very tricky, because at least in the last series, you kind of it wasn't even, but they can neutralize themselves, I guess you could say. Like the Spurs, they had that shooting lineup that could stretch the floor for them, for example. But I mean, it wasn't that great of an advantage, because the Grizzlies could have matched them up in another place. But with this series, really the weaknesses and the strengths are magnified. So basically, who has the bigger strength? Is it going to be San Antonio with their height, or is it going to be Houston with their speed? As you were saying, Nene, what's his last name? He has a last name, right? Hilario, I think. I just wanted to point that out, because I always forget he has a last name.
That's some research, man. That's some research.
I just remember from a long, long time ago in a galaxy far away. So, I mean, I think he could cause trouble. He's really one-dimensional. He's sort of like if I had to compare him to somebody, sort of like that Malik Rose type, but a little bit taller.
Yeah.
If he takes it in there, he's going to take it in there and just, put all his strength into whatever he's going to throw down. Again, that could cause trouble for Pau Gasol, who's not really the strongest guy. Might not cause that much trouble for Dwayne Dedmon. But again, he lost his minutes and he lost his starting spot last series. So I don't know where Pop's going to go with that. I'd like to see him start. I think he would really help neutralize
Dwayne Dedmon,
him with the shot block. Yeah.
Yeah.
As far as those two, I think Nene will cause Pau Gasol to have trouble. I don't know if it'll be the other way around, you know, if Pau can neutralize him on the offensive end. So I would really take Nene in that. And if it's Pau and Nene, I would take Nene. If it's Nene or Dedmon, I would take Dedmon.
Yeah, I think what you're going to see, I mean, of course, I think Powell's going to play significant minutes. I mean, he's a Hall of Famer, right? So, but Dedmon, I agree with you. You know, the Spurs are a much, I think they're like 95, or they have like a 95 defensive rating with Dedmon. But then on the other side, you know, they have a superior offensive rating with Powell when he starts. I think I would go in with Dedmon because you're going to have to match that athleticism. And you remember, I mean, Nene's not the starter. It's Clint Capella, who's, you know, big and fast and super athletic. Clint Capella's going to cause problems. Now, I mean, these guys, let me put it this way. I'm not scared. You're not going to win the series by beating Houston's front court, right? But you can absolutely lose the series if Houston's front court beats you up, right? Because if you're letting, you know, Nene scored 13 points a game in that last series against Oklahoma City, right? So if you're giving up 13 to Nene, right, and you're giving up 10 points to Clint Capella, and they're doing tip backs and they're getting, you know, involved in just athletic play, dude, the Spurs can lose the series just by letting those guys run amok. So I think you're going to see. I think you're going to force Popovich's hand is going to get forced to play, you know, small ball with David Lee because of his athleticism, and he's going to have to go with a, you know, unproven Dwayne Dedmon, and that's kind of scary offensively, right? So when you're talking about having to score, you know, straight up against James Harden and all of those shooters, right? So you're taking Powell's offense off the court just to have to deal with the front court of Houston. So, I mean, you're just asking everybody else to step up. I mean, San Antonio's not going to win if the Houston front court, you know, does what we're sitting here saying that they could do from an offensive perspective and just being pesky and maybe getting, you know, a combined 20 points between Capella and Nene. They're not going to win that series. That's just too much because they don't have the scoring. They don't have the offense to really take it to Houston because Houston's going to score, you know, 120 points a game, you know, unless they do something funny with James Harden, you know, do something real tricky with him. That's a tough one, man. This is such a good series. I mean, we're so lucky to see this series. And, you know, I thought I'm kind of going off on a tangent here, as you could tell, but you know how I've said it feels like it feels like San Antonio plays Memphis every playoffs, and it kind of is true. It's like four times in the past 6 years, I think, they've met in the playoffs. Do you know the last time that Houston and San Antonio played was on the Rockets?
Dream shake.
Yeah, it was on the Rockets championship run, you know, where Olajuwon did all that to David Robinson. Dude, that was 22 years ago was the last time they met in the playoffs. That's just unbelievable. You would have thought they would have run into each other since then, right? But, I mean, Houston's been bad for a long time, right, between their championship run and till just as of late.
Well, they've been, I wouldn't say bad. They've been mediocre. Mm-hmm. Where, I mean, San Antonio's always had at least, you know, one of the top three seeds, and Houston's been in the middle. Mm-hmm. And remember, T-Mac couldn't get them past the first round. So they were, I mean, during that era, they were really not going to meet. So again, this is when Houston, they're revived again. Are we going to see the beard shake?
Yeah, right. Yeah, maybe. I mean, he's got that herky-jerky style. I mean, that's going to be a tough one. You know, so let's talk about that. Let's talk about James Harden. What are the Spurs going to have to do to neutralize James Harden? And I mean, don't you think Danny Green's the guy who gets the draw, right?
I like how you went into the front court and then you didn't even talk about the back court.
Well, we're getting there. We'll get there one at a time.
Is it Danny Green? Would I have Danny Green on him? I think. Mm-hmm. Just because, you know, you don't want Kawhi to play at two sides of the floor because you know James Harden is not going to guard Kawhi. Harden's probably going to guard Tony Parker, where again, that, or maybe even Danny Green. You don't know. So again, whoever Harden guards, that's where I kind of want to go to on the offensive end. But on the defensive end, I don't know if you remember, the Spurs did this, and it was against Golden State a few years ago, like I want to say 3 years ago or 2 years ago, where they really would switch defenders on him. Tony Parker would get him maybe two possessions, and then after that it would be Danny Green, and then after that it would be Kawhi, and they would sort of blitz him to try to make him uncomfortable. I would sort of try that just to make him feel uncomfortable, to change the matchups, to change the switches, and see what works. I mean, if you go Danny Green the whole time, if they find some way to, you know, to get around him on the defensive end, you can't really change that, and you don't want to put Parker on him. So, and at the same time, I think it would keep them fresh. It would keep Danny Green fresh because he's guarding Harden a little bit. With Parker, again, you put Parker on Harden, even if you offer help, Harden's going to take that matchup. Even if he knows that the help's coming and he's going to have to throw up the shot, he'll take that matchup any day. And I think it will keep Kawhi from getting bored. I've noticed that in a couple of games where he's guarding maybe the fourth option or a guy who can't shoot or create his own shot, and he just gets bored out there. He just stares at the ball, and the guy takes a back screen or a back cut, and he scores for an easy layup. He gets lost. So I hope they change it around. So again, so Houston could be on their toes and not be too comfortable out there.
Yeah, it's I like where you're thinking, where they're, you know, just switching various players throughout the game of different sizes onto James Harden and just keep making him uncomfortable. I know they're going to end up at some point having to put Parker on Harden. And as you said, Harden's going to take that. I'd almost rather put Parker on somebody else. And then every time that the point guard for the Spurs is Patty Mills on the court, I'd rather have Patty play James Harden and just give him a different look. Just get really aggressive, you know, like he has in years past, and just give him a different look. And maybe agitate him early in the game. I think that, I mean, once Harden gets his rhythm, and I mean, what are we talking as a realistic win? You know, if they could keep Harden to 30 points, you know, 25, 30 points, that's a win for San Antonio. I think you've got to mix in Patty Mills there. I think just Parker, as great as he was offensively in this last series, I mean, he was no slouch defensively either, which was just awesome to see. But I don't think you can depend. I just think everybody settles back to the mean, right? And Parker's not a good defensive player, and I think that he's, you know, going to be overly exposed. What do you think about putting Patty Mills on him from time to time?
Either one, I don't think it matters. The problem with Patty is he gets a little bit too hand happy,
yeah.
You know, when he guards somebody like that. So he's going to try to go for the steal. Parker, I think he's more conservative, and I don't really think that's a good thing, you know, where he just waits to see where he's going to go. I think they need some pressure on Harden. So I think it's really in between what both of them bring. I wouldn't mind it because really, like we've said, if you put one of those guys on him, he's going to try to take the game over, which wouldn't be a bad thing. I mean, if he goes for 40 points and only shoots 20%, you live with that. So I wouldn't really mind it too much if they really put the smaller guy on him just so he could try to take over.
So do you think that Kawhi is going to – I mean, who's he covering? I know you mentioned this in passing, but you didn't really give a name. I mean, who's Kawhi going to primarily be responsible for defensively? Could you see him just sitting out there on Ryan Anderson?
Well, I mean, that would be interesting because I was just thinking about what if Pop goes small in this series? It wouldn't be a bad thing because now, in reality, what are you going to do? Try to switch, try to pick and roll against Kawhi at the four? Mm-hmm. That would just move him back to Harden,
right,
which would be interesting, you know, if they try to do something like that. I don't think he'd be on Ryan Anderson. I think you have to keep, you know, somebody in the paint. That's the whole reason why they have Ryan Anderson outside of there. But maybe on Trevor Ariza, you know, play him at arm's length, which with Kawhi's long arms, he would probably be in the paint, you know, or, right, you know, be in good help position. Because, I mean, that's a guy that you really want to try to take over the game if he thinks he needs to attack. I mean, if you put Parker on him and he tries to post up Parker, you're going to live with that over, you know, trying to have Harden take over the game, or Capella, you know, or Nene trying to get a pass in the paint against Parker. And again, those types of mismatches they really throw teams off, not only professionally, but also, like, you know, even in pickup games, you know, again, try to mismatch, you know, a smaller guy on a bigger guy, and the bigger guy is not really that good of an offensive player. Those guys will tell him, you got the mismatch, you go ahead and take it, and they'll force it and force it and force it, you know, even if it doesn't work. So, you know, really, if you remember, the Spurs really tried that years ago with Parker when they would put Parker like on, you know, when they would put Bowen on Nash against D'Antoni teams, mm-hmm. you know, Parker would be on a Sean Marion and they would try to go sometimes to a Sean Marion or Rajah Bell or, you know, whoever. They would try to, you know, take that matchup. If you remember in 07, that's what really doomed them when Pop would go and put Michael Finley on Boris Diaw. Remember, because they would want to run and gun, but Boris Diaw had the mismatch. Everybody gets cold. Again, a mismatch like that, if they try to take over, if they try to take advantage of that mismatch, it'll have guys like Eric Gordon or James Harden or Trevor Ariza or whoever doesn't, you know, whoever's just waiting around, they'll go cold at some point. So that's kind of what you want also. So, I mean, it just depends on what Pop wants to do. I wouldn't mind, you know, all these situations. I wouldn't be surprised if he tries all these situations yeah. just to keep them off balance.
Just keep them guessing. And, you know, the Spurs, they're supposed to have, you know, one of the better benches in the NBA, right? They're supposed to be one of the deepest. And you didn't really get to see that in this last series. Now, I mean, while minutes were sort of spread around, I mean, it was the Kawhi Leonard show and supplemented by Tony Parker, you know, from time to time. And what's amazing about Tony Parker is averaged 17 points in that last series, and he, you know, threw up a goose egg, you know, in that game three, right? So, I mean, that's pretty amazing to still average 17 for the series. But I think in this series, especially because I think they're going to have to go small just to handle all of the shooters that that Houston has, I think you're going to see a lot of Bertans, and that's interesting. I think that I hate to say this, but I think you're going to see a lot of Kyle Anderson in this series. You're going to see those guys mature. And what's great is that you can spell some minutes for Kawhi that way. You know, because, I mean, James Harden sits a bunch. You know, he gets to go in waves because they have Lou Williams. They've got Eric Gordon that can still score in bunches, right? So you'll see stretches where James Harden gets to sit. And you saw that in the Oklahoma City series against Houston. Kawhi didn't really get an opportunity to sit, you know, for long stretches. I think they're going to be able to get some stretches where you know, they're going to put Bertans in. They'll put Kyle Anderson in. Of course, David Lee. You know, everyone's going to get to mix around a little bit. And hopefully that length can stick with a guy like Aaron Gordon. I don't know what they do on Lou Williams. I mean, I guess that's Manu's guy, you know, for the reserves. But I think you want to have Kawhi and James Harden on the court at the same time, not just because you need their point totals to average out, but you just don't want one of those teams to just get in the flow. Like, let me put it this way. Like, if James Harden, prolific scorer, right, if he's on the court and Kawhi's not, Houston's going to go on, you know, a 10-0 run through, you know, during that time. And it's going to force the Spurs to take a timeout and then put their subs in, and then they're going to have to put in, you know, Kawhi back in the game so that they can do their own little 10-0 run. And so you just don't want to build up you don't want the flow to go Houston's way. You know what I'm saying? So you probably want those two scorers on the court at the same time.
Yeah, and I wonder, I mean, now I'm really thinking, how many minutes does Pau get? Because this is an absolute terrifying series to play Pau Gasol in.
It's a tough one. He's just so slow now. He's looking slower and slower as the season goes on.
I mean, I wouldn't mind him against the Warriors because I think he would bring something against Golden State. But, I mean, these guys are smaller. They're, like how you said, they're stronger and they're quicker. So I just don't know where he fits. I wonder if Pop, you know, sort of, you know, doesn't give him a lot of minutes and brings Deadman and they go small, like how you were saying, they bring a Bertans. But, I mean, Bertans really he was really shaky in that series against Memphis. So I don't know how well he would do in the next series against Houston, especially with the ruckus Houston crowd, you know, if they decide to go with him in an away game. It's going to be tough. You know, I would not be surprised if Pau does, you know, if he would average at least 10 minutes per game to be safe, but I just can't see him. He'll make shots, but it's not going to justify, you know, the 8 points he makes or he scores, giving up 8 or 10, you know, in the process. So it's going to be tough.
Yeah, I agree. Well, let's talk about Manu real quick. What does Manu have to do in this series? I mean, he didn't really do anything in that last series. I mean, it was horrible. Like, I think it was through four games and he hadn't scored at all. I mean, zero. How is that? I mean, that's incredible in its own right. That's almost impossible to do. But talk about what Manu's got to do, or if he has to do anything at all against Houston. I mean, did the Spurs need Manu to do well to come out of out of Houston with a series win?
Just make shots, or defend. I don't know if he'll guard Harden at some point.
That's really great advice, by the way. Just make shots or defend.
Just make shots. Yeah, just do something. That's what I tell my kids out there. Just do something. You know, I don't want to see you standing around doing nothing. So, the defense with Houston, it's not going to be as tough or as strong or as, you know, it's not going to hurt when he drives as much. Mm-hmm. So he might be a little bit more Manu than he was in the last series. I mean, you don't want to drive against Zebo or you don't want to drive against Marc Gasol. So I think he'll do more. I don't think he'll average, 10 points a game even. But I think he might give the Spurs a solid 8 points per game this series with really good defense. I think Pop might just put him on Harden, try to get some charge calls on him. You know, Manu does a really good job of acting out there. I don't even know if it's considered acting at his age, right? It has to hurt a little bit more. Oh, yeah. So I think he'll be more productive. And I think it'll show more, especially if he's on Harden. With the reserves in.
So the Rockets, part of the way that their team has been constructed and the way that that D'Antoni forces the offense is to shoot a bunch of threes. They were horrible from three-point land. Ryan Anderson was bad in that first series. James Harden was mediocre from three-point land. In that first series against Oklahoma City. Again, in this theme of returning to the mean, you can expect, the Rockets to start bombing it, from three-point land. If you're San Antonio, do you try to go – because they're a good three-point shooting team too. I mean, like we just talked about that at the start of the show, between Patty Mills and Tony Parker in that first series, they were shooting 50% from the point guard spot from three-point land. Danny Green was not good in that first series, but I mean, he's a good three-point shooter. Kawhi is turning into just a lights-out three-point shooter. What do the Spurs have to go toe-to-toe from, or is that dangerous for them to try to go toe-to-toe from three-point land with a team like the Rockets?
I think it's dangerous, especially if you get into a drought. They'll just keep shooting, so they might lead. You might just blink and be down 21 points with all the threes they shoot. They have to think in a way of, again, their strength is with their big guys. Their strength is driving in. Their strength is posting guys up. So I think they need to take advantage of that. As far as Houston and their threes, they have to neutralize it some way. I don't think they can play that Spurs scheme type of man offense, with the help on the baseline this series. I think they're going to have to change it up. Mainly because if you play it that way, you're probably going to have Powell or you're probably going to have Deadman up on top, and you can't really have him, leave the paint open, or you can't leave a shooter out there. If I'm the Spurs, I would think about maybe playing a little zone, as weird as that sounds in the NBA. Not a 2-3, obviously, and not even a 3-2. Maybe like a 1-3-1. I don't even know if the NBA has tried a box and one. But I would just try something out of the ordinary to sort of confuse them, because these guys are not used to playing that way. At least for a game, throw them off, off balance with some type of zone, so they won't be comfortable. But I don't think that they can match it, with the threes or even with that man defense. They need to change stuff up.
Yeah. Well, offensively, if you had to pick out of that first round, what was the most efficient team in the playoffs offensively? Who would you think? How far down the list would you have to go before you got to San Antonio?
Well, Golden State has to be number one, right? Are you looking at these stats?
I am. So I know the answer. So I'm testing you.
I would say Golden State.
Which is something I do a lot.
Is Golden State one?
Golden State is not number one.
Oh, well, probably it has to be the Cavs and Golden State and then San Antonio, I would say.
The number one offensive team in terms of efficiency at 116.8 points per 100 possessions are the San Antonio Spurs. That's pretty amazing, isn't it?
Well, obviously, because I thought they were three or four.
So you've got so to your point, they've got to keep doing what they're doing. That's putting them in the number one slot from an offensive rating perspective, offensive efficiency perspective, right? So keep doing what they're doing. Don't change their style. Don't get too reactive to what Houston's doing. Don't react to Patrick Beverley's games because he's just an agitator, right? I mean, that's why I love him. It's kind of like me on this show. That's why I just try to get under your skin, right? But you can't do that if you're San Antonio. You just have to keep and they're the team to do it, right? It's calm and collective. It's calm and collected. It's the style of play that's gotten them, you know, those five titles. Just keep doing what they're doing, and they should be fine. Agree?
Yeah, somewhat. But you're a Rockets fan, right?
Well, I'm a fan of all of
this. That's exactly what you want.
No. Hey, on this show, I'm a Spurs fan.
I think they need to play that team first basketball.
Right.
But I do think they need to change something. I don't think regular season. D'Antoni is not a regular season guy as much as people think that he might be. He can adjust to, you know, other teams offensively, you know, from the offensive end, and he'll do that. So I think San Antonio needs to come up with something different. Regular season doesn't matter. I had Spurs fans sass me, and I'll say that, you know, just so I don't want to use the word that's actually in my head. No, I'll just say annoyed. They annoyed me again because they put so much stock in the regular season. Mm-hmm. Like they were saying, you know, San Antonio should be favored over Golden State because they won the series, especially, you know, I mean, hold on.
This is great audio for the show. Is that a chihuahua screaming down the road over there?
No, did you hear she was crying because she wanted to get out of my room? it's my baby. Leave her alone. I forgot. Oh, yeah. I mean, they were putting so much stock in the first game where, you know, really that's a toss-up game.
Right.
That Spurs and Warriors game. You don't really take too much stock into that. And then the other one, the Spurs won, although their superstars sat out, right? And one was injured. So, I mean, regular season, nobody puts too much stock in it. Mm-hmm. So I would say that, you know, D'Antoni doesn't either. Seeing him in Phoenix, he does.
Yeah.
He does adjust, but only on the offensive end. He doesn't really care about defense. He'll study defense for maybe 10 minutes out of the practice.
Well, I'll say that that's the same. That's the same for this series. I mean, I don't think that San Antonio should put too much into this. They won the series during the season, 3-1 over Houston. But all of those games were really, really close. Right, and this wasn't the same Houston team. I mean, just getting Corey Brewer off of your team and putting Lou Williams in there makes them, you know, even more scary, right? And you know, the Spurs, they had two early games against Houston, and who really even knew what the Spurs were going to be this year, right? Because they had so many new parts come in there, Pau Gasol being, you know, probably one of the most notable of those. The rest of the games, they were all 6 points or less. They were all decided by 6 points or less. In fact, three of the four were decided by 3 points or less. It took, you know, Patty Mills there in March to bury a last-second three-pointer to beat Houston. So just because the Spurs have won 3 out of 4 games this year, I mean, come on, this is the playoffs, right? I mean, the Rockets have, you know, a guy who could be second place in the MVP running, you know, at the end of the year.
Or first,
yeah. Well, I mean, it's jury's still out because not to kind of go on too much of a rant here, but Russell Westbrook had a really nice series, but Kawhi, if you said Russell Westbrook was your favorite for the MVP, and I know voting has already been in, and that's what's really unfortunate is like voting is already in for the MVP. Of the regular season, but as soon as it came playoff time, I mean, Russell Westbrook had good games, but he wasn't clutch, and his team was bad. So it's like you're bad during the regular year or season, or like you're mediocre as a team, good enough to get into the playoffs, and I'm talking about the Thunder. And then you get into the first round of the playoffs, and aside from one game where it's more of a collapse than a real win, you know, you basically just got thrown out of the playoffs before it even started. Like your team was bad and you weren't clutch. You had a lot of points, a lot of rebounds, a lot of assists, and it didn't really matter. James Harden was not good in that first series, right? Good offensively, but just not the same as he's been in during the regular season. The guy who had the best first round series both ways on the court, and this is of any series in the playoffs, not just in the West, was Kawhi. I mean, Kawhi had an incredible first-round series, and I'd even argue that he wasn't firing on all cylinders, and he still had a great series. So talk about stepping it up when you need to. You know, Kawhi Leonard, I just said, I mean, he reset his playoff scoring of was a goal record. I'm just trying to reach for a word there. Record three times in the first round. I mean, Kawhi, if he's an MVP candidate, man, if voting was now instead of a few weeks ago, Kawhi Leonard's the MVP for sure.
Oh, yeah, I agree with you. And especially you mentioned Westbrook and Harden. I think, again, that's the difference between regular season and playoffs, because these guys are now being scouted by the same team, by the same scouts. They're looking at their tendencies, and now they have a whole series to focus on them. With Memphis, I don't think you could have stopped Kawhi, unless you maybe had Tony Allen. But at the same time, the way he played, maybe he would have, you know, gotten maybe a few less points per game, but I don't think it would have mattered that much the way he was playing. They're not going to announce the MVP until June, right? Until
yeah,
that
the
Drake
end
show.
Of June.
I don't know what's up with that. Why even have Drake on it? I just don't get why the NBA bows down to all these celebrities. You know, like Kevin Hart's everywhere. Drake, if he wants to do something. I mean, what about us? We don't get a say. Why should they get a say?
You
have your own book, bro. They don't have a book, I don't think.
That's true. Thanks for plugging the book. Everybody get out there and buy it. We're going to do an audible.com. We just have to figure out who's going to read it. Not me. I stutter too much. We need to get Ben Bornstein to read it.
I want to see Ben's voice. I want to see Ben's
voice.
Did you hear that?
Yeah,
I want to hear his voice.
I wasn't
going to
let that go.
Of course not. I caught myself too.
Well, we're going to record after every couple of games during this series, you know, before we start getting to the every game if the Spurs make it to that next round. But I want to go through and just get a quick prediction from you for the first game of the series, which is Monday night, 8:30, I think, because they're staggering it with the Eastern Conference. But give me a prediction for that first game, and then we'll do a prediction for the series. So what do you think happens in that first game of the series there in San Antonio tomorrow night?
I think they go with the same game plan. I think Houston is ready for that. I think they'll pick and roll and switch Pau Gasol to nauseam, and they'll get points out of that. LaMarcus, he'll be a little bit passive, I think, at the first game. Kawhi will be Kawhi. I don't think he'll drop down too much. They'll all be tired, obviously, because of that longer series. But I think San Antonio will drop that first game just because they won't really adjust to the situation. They'll try to play like how they did in the regular season. They'll find out that doesn't work, and then they'll adjust for game two. But I think San Antonio loses.
In that first game of the series, I'm glad that we're doing this, because I have San Antonio winning that first game of the series. I have basically Kawhi Leonard and James Harden just canceling each other out. I think James will have, you know, a few more points. Kawhi will have a more complete game. Than which, of course, I mean, playing both ways, and you know, James Harden's only a one-way player. But I think that essentially they'll cancel each other out from a points and offensive productivity perspective. I think that Kawhi is going to be extremely efficient offensively. James Harden's not going to be. I also think that the key to that first game and the series is LaMarcus Aldridge. And we didn't really talk about him, because I was hoping that we would get here and I could save this, you know, drop this bomb on you. But I think that LaMarcus Aldridge's ability to step out and from 12 feet, if he's on, routinely hit that jumper, I think that's the key to the series. Because you're going to draw away superior post play from, and this sucks that we're saying, superior post play from a guy like Nene, who's 45 years old, and then Clint Capella, who's Swiss, so he shouldn't be aggressive. You've got those two guys down there, and we're worried about them. Then you've got LaMarcus Aldridge over there, who's supposed to be amazing and a Hall of Famer in Pau Gasol. It's crazy that we're even thinking that way. But I think that LaMarcus Aldridge, he'll be able to pull out those guys from their position because of his ability to predictably hit that 12-footer. And I think that that's going to open up lanes, and I think you're going to see a lot of aggressiveness from Tony Parker, Patty Mills. I think they're going to have a throwback Manu because that lane's going to be wide open at times. I think the Spurs win that first game of the series. I think they win it pretty big.
Well, I'm glad we did this. So I'll see you after game one when I'm right.
I guess so. I guess that's what we're both saying. Okay, so that's game one. Now, like, let's just talk about the series in general. What's your prediction for the series?
San Antonio in six. I think they'll lose that the first game, lose one after that. They'll regain home court, obviously. But I think their adjustments I think their adjustments are going to be too much for Houston because there's only so much Houston can do. I think Houston can adjust one or two times after San Antonio, especially during the game. But San Antonio will always have the advantage in the paint, and I think that's really the one that you that's going to be the more valuable strength and adjustment that they'll have as far as, you know, having taller guys or protecting the paint.
Yeah, I think that San Antonio only goes as far in this series as LaMarcus Aldridge goes, just for the reasons that I just mentioned. And I don't think that San Antonio can count on LaMarcus Aldridge because they haven't really been able to count on him offensively for the entire year. And especially in that last series, that was upsetting to say the least, right? I don't think that you could count on him. And so I think that that makes it go to seven games. I think the Spurs win in seven games. Unfortunately, they just can't really count on LaMarcus Aldridge to carry in the way all the way through. So they're going to have big games. Doing LaMarcus Aldridge is going to get that little pick and pop. He's going to be great at doing that. He's going to hit the 12-footer. It's going to open up those lanes. But I think that Manu's got to have a throwback, and I think he will. And I think you're going to still see aggressive play out of a guy like Patty Mills, and that's going to be the difference in this series. So I've got Spurs in seven. You have Spurs in six.
Yeah.
Mark it down.
But I think LaMarcus might be a little bit more aggressive this series because, I mean, you get beat up by Zebo and Marcus in the first series, you're going to see weaker, smaller guys. You know, there's some positions that are stronger, like Nene. He's obviously stronger. But, you know, if he can get used to the punishment he got in the first round, the second round should be a lot easier. And then especially going to Golden State. But, you know, I hope that if they can – close it out in four or five, I would rather obviously have that.
Oh, yeah,
sure. Because this is an older team, especially if they have to play against Golden State, which it's, I mean, they're really a hybrid of the two teams that they would see before. Mm-hmm. They're strong and they're fast, so they need to finish it off as soon as possible. I hope five, but I can easily see six.
Yeah, I agree that it should be easier for LaMarcus Aldridge in this series because he's just not going to get beat up. And it's just the style of play. Like you say, I mean, Nene is huge, in great shape, but it's just not his style. You know, I mean, Zebo will hurt you, right? Which is great, which is why people love him. And Marcus Gasol is the same way. So he's not going to see that. I'm just saying that he's good for like 12 points a game. 14,
let me ask
14
you this.
If you're lucky, right? But it's all going to be the style. He's going to get his 14, but he's going to open up a lane for, you know, people to drive to the bucket.
Let me ask you this, because I'm going to put you sort of on the spot. What's the chance that you see that Houston wins the series? I mean, we're kind of biased in this, right? We kind of see San Antonio winning. But what does Houston need to do to win the series?
Oh, I mean, I have it as seven games, which is basically saying that, you know, I'm erring on the side of one, San Antonio bias, and then two, San Antonio should win because they're a higher seed, right? They have the four at home. So I'm right there on the fence. For Houston to win the series, I think it's as simple as, and this is your word or your phrase, but they have to hit shots. I mean, they were pathetic from three-point land in this last series. I think if they're hitting those threes, and James Harden he's doing what he does from an assist game, assist perspective. I mean, Houston has so many shooters. If they're shooting that three well, if they're shooting 35% to 40%, which is right in their wheelhouse from three-point land, I think San Antonio's got some real problems. I mean, real, real big problems because they just don't have enough defenders to take out those shooters. I mean, it's a classic problem here. I mean, because they have Danny Green, who's an amazing wing defender, and I was so happy the way that he played in that last series. And then you've got Kawhi, who's, you know, all world and should be the defensive player of the year again. But that's it. I mean, who takes Lou Williams? Like, you're going to put Manu on Lou Williams? Who's going to take Eric Gordon? I don't even know. Would you put Patty Mills on? I mean, either one of those guys is going to get in real trouble against those two guys, and they're not even the best offensive player on the team. I just think that if Houston, their shooters are hitting those shots to complement James Harden, who's going to get 30 and cancel out Kawhi, I think I got a real problem.
Yeah, the one thing that I would watch out for is that would swing in Houston's favor is how San Antonio tends to protect the paint. in that, you know, a lot of the times, especially when Tony Parker's in the paint or Danny Green, they'll just try to swipe at it and it's an easy and one. I think they need to get some a little bit physical with Harden. Mm-hmm. Not saying hurt the guy, but yep. I mean, hard foul.
Who's your guy to do that?
I think Dedmon can do that. Bertans only has 9 fingers, so I think he can do that. I think that's you. Where's he from?
Lithuania.
Is that yeah, right? I mean, I don't even know where that is on the map. So it's
I might be making that up.
I have no idea. I bet they eat cereal. You know, nails with milk as cereal. You know that's how. So
your guy, you're missing him. The guy that's gonna do it is gonna be David Lee.
Oh, probably. I hope
check the hell out of James Harden, a la Robert Horry. Watch.
I hope so. Of course, I'm not saying that I hope Harden gets hurt.
Right.
But, I mean, it has to be those hard fouls. I would like to see DeJounte Murray in this series.
Yeah.
Just get a little bit more minutes, especially, you know, get those minutes over.
Anything.
Yeah, over Jonathan Simmons, over Kyle Anderson. Because these guys, again, they're strong, but they're not physical. So I, with the exception, of course, of Nene. So I think his length would help, especially maybe against Harden. You have some fouls to throw out there. Mm-hmm. But again, they really have to make those fouls count. If they don't, it's just going to be easy points. And the Rockets are just going to get riled up. And I think they'll take the series if San Antonio doesn't get somewhat physical with them.
I agree. Man, this is the series of the playoffs, certainly so far. And I think it would be for the entire run. I mean, this is going to be a great series. I can't wait to just get all locked in. I'm getting jazzed about this, man. It's like I'm waiting for WrestleMania to start or something. I'm so excited about this week. This is going to be an awesome week.
I guess so.
Okay. I love your energy. Okay. Well, that's it for this episode of the Spurs Cast. Make sure to follow us on Twitter at the Spurs Cast. Catch up with Jose at JRG1023. Me, I am at RyanMC_PS. Follow us or follow any of the Project Spurs folks at Project Spurs. Head on over to ProjectSpurs.com. Track that all week long. Full coverage of the playoffs, full coverage of the Spurs at ProjectSpurs.com. Jose, thank you so much, man. And to you listeners, you're welcome.